Hello, everybody, and happy Easter. I have my Jesus shirt today. I'll show you the whole shirt. It says, I never said that, Jesus. I don't know if he said that he never said that, but at least it's a nice loop. And happy Easter for people who are celebrating Easter. It's today? No, it's tomorrow. No, today, Sunday. Oh, this is wrong. So Sunday we have, as always, Easter. And I don't know if you guys know, but in the beginning, they used to celebrate, the early Christians used to celebrate Easter every Sunday. So every Sunday was an Easter. It's like every kid's fantasy that we celebrate birthday every day. So for Jesus, it was once a week, hence Sunday or Domingo, the day of the Lord. So later on, they just reduced it to once a year. But originally, it was celebrated every Sunday. Every Sunday, going about looking for eggs and bunnies and stuff. But as you know, like most holidays, it first of all started as an astrological phenomenon that is always, I mean, I think that I've looked at a lot of holidays and a lot of religious celebrations in different traditions, and they're all based on the skeleton of astrology. So first was astrology, then was religion, later on science. That's why I always say mother astrology had two kids. One of them is probably a boy, science, and the other one is a girl, religion, or maybe they changed their gender along the way. But definitely astrology is the mother of religion and of science. So as for religion, if you look at Easter and the celebration of Easter, it always happens on the Sunday, the day of the sun, which is very astrological. It always has to happen on the first full moon, again, astrology, that occurs after the spring equinox in the Northern Hemisphere, again, astrology. And that is to ensure that Easter is celebrated right after Passover, because the Last Supper was, of course, Passover, which is always celebrated, not this year, but always, as a full moon after the equinox. Why after the equinox? To force the lunar calendar to obey the solar calendar, because we want to make sure that Easter, which is a day of resurrection, and Passover, which is a celebration of spring, occur in the spring instead of traveling around the year, like what happens with the Ramadan, for example, that we're now celebrating, which is only lunar, the ninth lunar month of the calendar, and keeps moving around, traveling around the year, just having fun, moving from winter to fall, from fall to summer, from summer to spring. So Easter is an interesting celebration. And we're having Easter while the sun is exalted in Aries, which is great. And when is Venus exalted in Pisces, which is great. When any planet is exalted, it gives us the pure force and we can tap into it easily and freely. Venus exalted talks about beauty, art, design, colors, finance, money, relationship, partnerships, Mother Nature. So if you're looking for well-illustrated Venus, bunnies, in Venus, their eggs, no, they don't, they're mammals, Venus, you know, all of that is celebration of Venus. So it's great that Venus is right on top of Neptune this week. We talked about it. It's very, very auspicious. It's Neptune, the higher octave of Venus, coming in touch with Venus, the artist. So you can say that Neptune, which is the muse, inspiration, the spiritual realm, is descending down on artists or people who are creative. So the more creative you can be in the next week, the more benevolence you'll get, and the more the ability to channel information would be for you. And because we are during Aries, the sun transits in Aries is always exalted. The sun loves to come and visit Aries. The sun is admired during Aries, and that's why Aries also represents the resurrection, because we are coming out of a period of winter where the nature was frozen, even the bears went to sleep, and we're starting to wake up. We're starting to resurrect. We're starting to take away our shackles of coldness and frozenness, and we're starting to interact, and we're starting to have fun. The birds are chirping, and the bears are coming to eat, and salmon is coming out of the rivers, and so forth. So it is something of a resurrection of nature. And that's why a lot of the holidays that even in the pagan world around this time of the year was the theme of resurrection. Think about Atis, who also sacrificed himself around the 20th of March, the equinox, in order to resurrect. So that concept of death and resurrection is very much coming up right now. Why? Because the last sign that was ruled by Mars was Scorpio. Scorpio is death. That is when nature pretended to die. The trees shed their leaves. Nature started getting into this poise of basically being suspendable and suspense in a sense. That's why wars also, Mars, the god of war, stopped around October, November, when the mud and the winter become impossible for the passage of armies and the legions. And when is it resurrecting? And well, the next sign that is ruled by Mars is Aries, which is right now. And that's when the wars are coming up. Campus Martus, or the camp of Mars, was starting to be populated by soldiers, and the wars commenced. But not only wars, action in general. So yes, this is the period of resurrection. One of the things that you can do to make this holiday even more spiritual for you is to really go into some kind of a symbolic cave. Maybe you find a closet. Just make sure you know how to open it. Do not get into fridge, even though it's very tempting sometimes. Put yourself in, in the storage place or even in the car. Like, imagine yourself getting into some kind of cocoon. And then really think about, what way do you want to resurrect? What would be your biggest, let's say, a trait or ability or gift as you're resurrecting out of your old self? So you literally go into this cocooning space. I mean, I prefer a physical space that is dark and closed, like a den, like something like under the blanket in a sense. And then when you come out of it, try to imagine one trait that you would want to have this year resurrected with you. For example, for Christ, it was moving from being a human into being born a God. And one of the most beautiful thing about the story of, the story of Easter is the fact that the first person to recognize the divinity of Christ was Maria Magdalena. It was a woman who could see him. That's the first person that could see him and not doubt and really accept it. What does that mean? That even when the yang element, the masculine energy, is coming out of the cave, out of the womb, out of Mother Nature, out of the mother, the first person to welcome him is the mother, obviously, and or the midwife, in a sense. Maria Magdalena was the spiritual midwife, you can say, of Christianity. And then she's taken the baby, and the baby goes back to nurture nurse by nature. So this is, again, a very pivotal time in our passage of the sun around the zodiac real estate, because right now, this Sunday specifically, is very auspicious. It is the time where you can be born again. And we're very lucky to have the moon behaving very nicely today with the sun. The moon is in Sagittarius, the sign of truth and philosophy and optimism, shooting your arrow to the skies and achieving your goals. So again, a lot of fire, and it's basically kind of hugged, or let's say, held space with the energy of Pisces, especially with Venus on top of Neptune, which is also, again, exalted, and Neptune is in his own sign. So that's the great news about this lovely equinox. Now let's look at the week ahead. We're starting today with March 31st. And as you can see, today, tomorrow, it's actually starting tomorrow, but it's very important. Mercury is going to go retrograde. Yes, we had from the beginning of the year almost a clean slate of no retrograde planets. And now we're starting the retrograde season. And it starts off with Mercury on April 1st. April's Fool, I think, is very, very interesting coordination or serendipity that we are starting Mercury going retrograde on the day of the Green Men. So Monday, we'll talk about it in a second, when the moon is going to move into Capricorn, we're going to have Nature Boy reappearing. So April Fool, the original idea behind it, is nature resurrecting to life, very similar to Easter. That's why Easter is usually celebrated end of March, beginning of April, during the domain of Aries. Now, some people would say, why is it not in Taurus? Taurus is Mother Nature. Well, Aries is ruled by Mars, and Mars is the god of vegetation, the god of sowing seeds. That's why the masculine side of life is supposed to provide the seed and the DNA, let's say, or the parts of the information to be contained or developed or held space by the egg. So what we have with Mars is that it is the power of, let's say, sowing the seed. Even if you look at the story of Genesis, the story of the days, the first chapter of Genesis, you'll see that on the third day, Martes, which is ruled by Mars, God planted all of the green trees, all of the greenery, making preparation for the atmosphere in a sense. So again, Mars is associated with not only war and killing, but also by the seed. And you know that I think about it now, Mars is also the ruler of Scorpio, death, sexuality, resurrection. And that could be the passage of the soul. It dies in the war. It gets into a woman's womb, hopefully through the sperm of Mars, in order to be born and resurrect. So when there is wars, there's a lot of birth. You always see it. For example, the baby boomers came into the planet because of World War II and all the millions and millions of people that died. So that could be the connection between Mars and the sowing of the seeds. The idea that Mars is causing war and death. Yes, Scorpio is death, Mars and Aries is war, but it is to resurrect life. It is to recycle life in a sense. So that's very much what's happening. Now, Mars is in Pisces. Mars in Pisces means that Mars is much more spiritual and mystical. It is a warrior of light, or maybe it's some kind of a Templar, you know, a warrior monk, or some of the ninjas that were very mystical in many ways and also very able physically. But any kind of activity in water in the next 3-4 weeks will be very, very important. I don't consider swimming in a tub as kind of a sport in water, but even if you can run by water source or by a river, by a lake, by a sea, that's great. Any kind of activity in water, again, when Mars is in Pisces, especially because what we're happening this year, this week, is two things that are kind of interesting. They're going to take time for it to manifest, but Venus is going to be moving on top of Neptune, and Mars is going to move on top of Saturn. So both Venus and Mars, the masculine and the feminine, are going to go through some big trainings the next few weeks. So anyway, today, Sunday, the day of resurrection, the moon is in Sagittarius, great for study, learning, teaching, traveling, anything to do with faith, religion, wisdom. This is a day of wisdom. The only thing is that the moon is kind of annoyed by Venus today. So if you go bunny hunting or egg collecting or whatever it is that your plan, you might have a little bit of argument between your partner and family members or between different family members and you. So just be aware that it's not the easiest energy around family. I know it's a Sunday of Easter, but still, certain things might come up that need to come up in order to be resolved. But I think the more important thing is to talk about tomorrow, which is April 1st. And April 1st, always been associated with April Fool because of the idea that spring is unpredictable. For example, here in Los Angeles, which is known for its sunny disposition, we had this crazy cold energy happen. I mean, cold front coming yesterday, a little bit in today when I was walking to the coffee shop. It was freezing. So again, that's the nature of spring. It can be a very hot day, cold day. It's kind of a transition. So whenever we have transition, we have a lot of pranks and jokes that are pulled on us. So the same thing with April 1st. The only difference is April 1st is associated with the green man. And again, the green man is that masculine aspect of nature. It is a concert, you can say, of Mother Nature. So April Fool, if you know the tarot card, it is the first card in the tarot. It is the most powerful card because it's the DNA of all the cards, meaning that the Fool can be any one of the cards. It could be the Emperor. It could be the Empress. It could be the High Priestess. It could be the Hierophant. Basically, it's the same thing as the Joker in the playing card. That can be the Three of Spades. It could be the Six of Diamonds, whatever it is. The Joker can change its identity. And because it is all of those things. It's not because it's trying to become it. The same thing that our cells in our DNA can become whatever cell they need according to the program. So the same thing with April 1st. It's the absolute potential of the year. It's the DNA of the year. So on April 1st, you want to sow a seed. Tomorrow, you want to put a seed in the... I mean, if it's a symbolic seed, if it's an actual seed, even though Mercury is stationary... Basically meaning Monday and Tuesday, Mercury is going to be stationary. Wednesday is when it's going retrograde all the way up until April 25. April 26, you can do whatever you want. But Mercury retrograde, not a good time, especially Mercury stationary, to start any new projects if possible. sometimes you have to. Okay, if you have to, then do some kind of a ritual to offset that. Maybe ask the universe, if you give me this project without problem, then I give you 8% of the profits I'm going to dedicate to children in need, or send it to some place where there is strife by war. So you can offset some of the negativity of starting something in Mercury retrograde by A, promising to donate some of that money or energy or do some service for it. Or two, you can start a project as long as that project you tried in the past and failed, and now you're returning back to it, but not starting something from absolute scratch. So Monday, we have the moon in Capricorn. It's great because it's a day that has to do with Earth and grounding your energy. So in that sense, it's really, really positive that the moon in Capricorn, even though the moon is in exile in Capricorn, and she's going to send beautiful energy to Mars. A lot of action on Monday. Action that has to do with emotion. So I know Mercury is stationary. Mercury stationary on Monday and Tuesday means that it's not a good time to start anything. It is a great time for meditation. You know how in Psalm it says, be still and know that I am God. This is a great time to be still, to get stuck, to sit still. And for me, to sit still is meditation. So if you usually do 3 minutes meditation, do it 10. If you usually do 20, do a little bit longer. You'll see that it's going to be easier for you to go deep inside. And also, you might get a lot of ideas around that day, Monday, Tuesday. Don't start them. Just write them down. And after it, you can actually start. So again, Mercury stationary in Aries, it's almost like a paradox. Mercury in Aries is very active. It's want to conquer. It wants to move it. But it says, breathe deeply. Don't do anything. Stay still. Another option is to do a lot of exercise tomorrow. And after the exercise you're doing, sit down and meditate. So it's going to be easier to meditate when your body is really tired or when you're breathless. So what we have on Monday is, again, the moon in Capricorn. It slows down the energy, but because it's stationary anyway, we don't want it to rush too fast. So it's great that we're going to have moon in Capricorn, the slowest moon possible, when Mercury's anyway ain't going nowhere because he's stationary. So again, Monday, we have the moon in Capricorn, slow down, great energy to act with a connection to your emotion, and try to be still and know that you are God. And on April 2nd, we have the moon moving still in Capricorn, and it's going to send a beautiful sextile to Venus and to Saturn. That actually is really good for healing any issues that might have come up in Easter or on Easter with family members. It's a great time to make things happen. So Tuesday, as you know from the story of Genesis, we mentioned it's the only day that God congratulated himself by saying twice, it is good, it is good, it is good. So that's great. So we have a blessed day on Tuesday, even though the moon is in exile. She's sending, like I said, great energy to Mars, action, to Saturn, stability, security, to Venus, art, design, beauty, colors. We're having Jupiter coming closer and closer, as I promised last week, to Uranus. So this is this week and next week is a week of technology, innovation. There's going to be a lot of, new discoveries coming up, scientifically speaking. And also in the realm of cryptocurrencies, as you know, we're getting closer and closer to the halving of Bitcoin. That's going to happen right at the last 2 days of Aries. It is going to happen during Mercury retrograde. And I checked, all the halving before of Bitcoin were not done in Mercury retrograde. So it's going to be going different than any kind of halving. So whatever people expect, it's going to be a little bit different. And Jupiter on top of Uranus, while that's happening, is really important because Jupiter is expansion, Taurus is finance, Uranus is technology and innovation. So that's definitely going to be very powerful. So the things to look into this week, which are Tuesdays giving a big push, is A, Jupiter on top of Uranus, which is going to peak this week, especially towards the end of the week, which is great for science, technology, innovation, e-commerce, anything that has to do with grounding a connection to information that is futuristic, and also connecting to new friendships, new people, new communities are coming your way. The Mars is getting closer and closer to Saturn. That's not going to be easy. Mars and Saturn, both of them are not comfortable planets. And when they come together in a conjunction, it's a little bit heavy. It usually talks about post-traumatic stress disorder from past lifetimes, kind of making a little flashback. So just be aware of that you're coming close to that. There could be more nightmares, especially because this Mars and Saturn is happening in Pisces. There could be some issues with psychic attacks or feeling like people are thinking about me negative thoughts. The best thing to do, especially with all that activity of Mercury stationary, is to start protecting yourself. Basically, every day when you wake up in the morning, maybe try to imagine this cloud of or a sphere of bright light above you, and just try to breathe so that the sphere of light comes down all the way to your feet, Pisces, and come up all the way to your head, Aries. So you're covering all the zodiac and all the protection. So try to do that again, because there's going to be a little bit more negativity projected all over. Also on the political level, also on the diplomatic level, it will be the same. But the biggest thing that's happening this week is Venus on top of Neptune. Forget Mars for now. And Venus on top of Neptune. Neptune is in Pisces, the sign that it's ruling. Venus is exalted. It's great news for artists, for movers, for dancers, for mystics, for people who meditate, for people who are empathic, for people who are in healthcare, people who are imaginative, people who are photographers or cinematographers or any form of art. It's, I told you, Venus is about beauty and art, and Neptune is the inspire. It's the muse. It's that moment of being touched by the divine, but in an artistic way. And even if you don't think you're artistic, you will feel artistic in the next few days. Everybody is going to be filled with that Venus-Neptune conjunction, which is full of love. And like in Björk's song, all is full of love. You just sometimes have to turn your head to the different direction where you're getting your love. Because sometimes when you look at one direction to get that love and you're not coming from there, you think you're not loved, but really you're loved, but from something else or somewhere else. So that's something important. And also we have Vesta. When did she move? Yeah, she moved already last week. We talked about it. So Mercury is still stationary on Tuesday. And Mercury and the Moon are squaring. So Tuesday, while it is true that Venus and Neptune are great together, which means that anything to do with intuition, gut feeling flows really, really well, the thing that is a little bit off is having the Moon squaring Mercury. So anything to do with logic and emotion is a little bit off. So this is a day, or a Tuesday, Wednesday, that you have to dedicate much more to your emotions, much more to your gut feelings than to logic or the intellect. On April 3rd, which is a Wednesday, April 3rd, we have the Moon shifting into Aquarius. And when the Moon is in Aquarius, and especially when she moves in there, she's stepping over Pluto. That happens once a month for about a day. It's happening on Wednesday. So emotionally, it can be very taxing on April 3rd. So it's an interesting day because it's the first day that Mercury is going retrograde. It is also the actual day when Venus and Neptune are conjunct. And it's also the day when the Moon and Mars are conjuncting. So we have a lot of planets coming to conjunction: Venus and Neptune, Mars and Saturn, Moon and Pluto, Jupiter and Uranus. And all these conjunction equals one word: intensity. So everything is getting much more intense. Again, watch the news. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is going to be out there. There's going to be a lot of activity in that sense. Some unnecessary aggression, some abuse, and some bad news about people or about women because of that Moon on top of Pluto. And also the Sun is going to be conjuncting the North Node. And that always talks about a period of renewed karma, but in a good way. So that's actually really good that the Sun exalted in Aries is going to be sitting on top of the North Node. That really gives us help on Wednesday. And that means that like-minded people are coming closer, are coming together, and they might actually give you some help. So there might be some unexpected help coming from a new group of people, a new community. So that's going to be on Wednesday. On Thursday, April 4, we have Venus already passing Neptune. So the conjunction is still there, but she's already like, I'm kind of over you, Neptune. I'm moving on. I'm moving on. And the next one I'm going to be touching will probably be Mercury. But she's done with Neptune. I told you, Venus is, her love affairs are very short. Mars is coming closer and closer to Saturn. It's going to take time. And Jupiter is only 2 degrees away from Uranus. So definitely Thursday. Wednesday, Thursday this year is days of conjunction. And days of conjunction are planets that come together to create a new reality. Not a planet that is associated with both of them, but something bigger than that. So again, Jupiter on top of Uranus is going to start happening closer and closer this weekend and next week. Mars and Saturn next week. And the conjunction of the Sun and the North Node is pure on April 4. And if I look at the Sabian symbol for that day is brownies dancing in the setting sun. I didn't know that brownies can dance. I thought it was something you eat, but maybe it's named after something else. But brownies, brown little things dancing in the setting sun. Setting sun is associated with Libra and end of the day. Usually they say that whatever spreads its wings in sunset or twilight is because of wisdom in retrospective. So maybe you'll get a clarity about something that happened to you in the past, especially because we're talking about the North Node, which is the sign of karma on top of the sun. So again, Thursday, the moon in Aquarius, all about computers, people, technology, innovation, thinking outside of the box, getting prepared for the weekend. And the moon in Aquarius is an instinct about everything it has to do with the future. So you might get some insights. I'm not saying you're going to become a prophet, but you're going to understand trends. It's a good maybe day for trading if you trade because you have an aspect of the future in the present. Again, Neptune is still on top of Venus, so you're still not too late with meeting interesting people from past lifetime, connecting to artistic gifts from past lives, and using that Neptunian energy of channeling in context of money, art, design, even your self-worth. The sun on top of the North Node, really good energy to connect to people of power and people of influence. Jupiter on top of Uranus, very good for communities, people, technology, and innovation. So all that is happening on Thursday, April 4. But remember, this is all the context of all that concept of connecting to people that can really help you achieve your goals. So April, now let's look at the weekend. And in the weekend, what we have is a few things. First of all, the moon is shifting into Pisces. So we're going to have a moon in Pisces weekend, which is not too bad. It's especially if you can spend it by water, if you can chill out a little bit more, if you can take more space to sleep a little bit longer, sleep, perchance a dream, something that can connect you a little bit more to the mystic in you. That's because the moon is going to be in Pisces. But also what's happening on Friday, the day of Venus, is Venus is shifting gears from exaltation to exile. So Venus is moving into Aries. She doesn't like to be in Aries because Venus, which is money, which is clubbing, which is fun, which is makeup, has nothing to do with war. Actually, we can't do all of these things if there's war. And Venus, the feminine energy, she likes boys. Where are all the boys? The boys are fighting in war. The boys are dying. And if they're not dying, they're coming back with post-traumatic stress disorder. Ain't fun for relationship at all. So Venus in Aries is not happy. She's in exile, literally. So Venus is going to be there for like about a month or so. So it just means that you're going to be a little bit more impulsive, a little bit more aggressive about your relationships. It could be not as interesting, let's say, on the relationship front. Anyway, Mercury is retrograde, so you want to be careful who you're bringing into your life, a new person. That being said, if there's any art projects or creative endeavors that you've tried in the past and failed, that would be a good time to reconnect to it. The moon in Friday, like we said, is moving into Pisces. So there's going to be more flow around it, your meditation, your mysticism, intuition, dreams, like I said. Imagination is really becoming very, very dominant. And we're going to have a weekend where we have Neptune, the ruler of Pisces, in Pisces, Saturn in Pisces, obviously, Mars in Pisces. So again, of the chart will be in Pisces. We're having fire water weekend, which basically means there's a lot of yes, no, action, reception, a little bit of steam going on. But that's why I suggested do less and rest more, if possible, in this specific weekend. On Saturday, we have the moon again in Pisces, but right on top of Saturn. So it could be a little bit more taxing around relationship with family members. For real estate, it's really bad, again, especially because it's Mercury retrograde and the moon is on top of Saturn. Not the easiest day. There seems to be some kind of heaviness emotionally, feeling a little bit more sad, a little bit more abandoned. The sun is also coming very close to Chiron, another conjunction that's going to happen more around Monday next week, which is an intense day. I just remind you, Monday next week is the eclipse, the solar eclipse, the American eclipse, the eclipse that crosses over United States, oops, going down to Mexico. So it is a very powerful time. Whatever is happening around the eclipse, which is whatever is happening this week, is enhanced and intensified because of the eclipse. So the moon on Saturday is just a little bit more sluggish and heavy. And the sun on Sunday, April 7, is going to be moving closer and closer to Chiron. And Chiron basically talks about a pretty heavy energy about past traumas or childhood insecurities that are surfacing up. And also, if you have a boss, father figure, anybody who is a superior, they might injure you or be injured in general, or you might feel some of their wounds, maybe by projection on top of you. So there's a few things happening on Sunday. We have the moon on top of Neptune, which is, again, an instinct moon on anything to do with imagination, intuition, gut feelings, like we always said about Pisces. It also is a very strong channel to dreams, also nightmares. But that transition on Sunday, the moon is moving also into Aries and going to be touching Venus. So the moon is moving and taking a message from Neptune from above to Venus, which is much more below. So that doesn't have to be a bad aspect, actually. It means that the moon is literally transitioning or transferring information, channeling information, putting Neptune and Venus in some kind of entanglement, and they're already entangled. So that's great. Now, it could mean that you're getting an intuition about your partnership, about your relationship, or you're feeling something that is hidden or under the surface in the context of relationship or new sources of income or new ways of making money. But again, the sun on top of Chiron could mean that either you're a wounded healer or you're tapping into some kind of a wound in you that can make you a healer, somebody that can really help other people. So that's happening on Sunday. And remember, we're ending the weekend on Monday with a powerful solar eclipse. It's going to be an eclipse that also involves Chiron, wounds, Mercury retrograde, things from the past, obsessive thoughts from the past coming back. But also, this eclipse can retrieve back to you, bring you back something you have lost, and probably something you have lost to a relationship. Meaning that if somebody took your power away from you in the past in relationship, it might be returning back. It might be coming back because the eclipse theme is I am and not we are or we were, and focusing much more on the sense of individuality and your sense of identity and your sense of self. So the South Node takes away something from Libra. The Chiron, old wounds, take away the power of maybe somebody who controlled you or took some of your Shakti, some of your energy away, and returning it, because Mercury retrograde is all about bringing back the things that were lost. And even in this Mercury retrograde, in Easter, we're bringing back Jesus. No. So the whole theme is to bring back, to resurrect. And that will be happening during the weekend. So let's see. First of all, I saw that there is some questions. I hope it means I don't hear you. I don't hear you. Bransington says, Brownies, Symbian symbol. Brownies are small, industrious fairies or hobgoblin. Hobgoblin. That's kind of interesting. Brownies. I thought you just eat them, but I guess you eat them and they are able to dance, and they are also little spirits. If they escape the tray, the baking tray, or if they escape the oven, they dance. Or maybe dancing brownies in the sunset is just before they get ready to be eaten. And the sunset is the oven, really. But spirits, you can say spirits, and totally makes sense because it is a Piscean pixie kind of energy. Totally. So let's see what we have. First of all, if you are in LA, it will be great to see you in one of the classes on April 6th. In April 30th, we're also going to have a workshop. So I really hope I get to see you in person. Let's see if there is something I wanted to mention. Let's look at... Yeah. So overall, let's look at... some thoughts about Easter. So first of all, the English word Easter most likely comes from oestre, oestra, and it is associated with the Anglo-Saxon goddess of spring and fertility. Makes sense because we celebrate it in spring. We said Easter is always celebrated on the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox. So it all goes back to the barley celebration. Why the barley? It's the first grain that pops up after the winter, after there was no food for so long. We are liberated from the Egyptian slavery. Egypt in Hebrew, Mitzrayim, means constraints or straits. It's a place where it's very narrow. I think it comes from the idea that all of Egypt is basically around the Nile, a few kilometers to each side, because the rest is scorching desert. And this is basically the Nile. I mean, Egypt is the gift of the Nile. So maybe that's why it's called like that in Hebrew. It's a land that is constricted, or maybe because of the collective mythological history of being slave and constricted in Egypt. But the idea that Egypt represents the winter of discontent, and Pharaoh represents our fear, Moses represents our higher self, our liberated, and the promised land is where we can strive to become in the future, what we can be. So the whole idea around Passover and Easter, it is an exercise, it's a ritual of getting out of slavery into your true potential, out of nothing into something. It's basically a mini story of creation. And that's why every Passover and Easter, it kind of Easter is a backup to Passover, is the ability to transform yourself, to resurrect yourself, to come out of some depression or sadness or the winter of discontent, basically coming out of some kind of heaviness. So that's what Easter is all about. And that's why it's a celebration of, supposed to be a fun holiday. It's not like, I don't know, other holidays that are you're feeling full of guilt and full of shame and have to fast for something that was done. It is a day of resurrection. Yeah, there is some guilt because, you know, there is the Friday that where they killed him and then he was resurrected. Why did you kill them? Who killed them? The Jews killed them. The Romans killed them. We killed them because of our sins, whoever. You know, so there's still guilt there, of course, but relatively it's a holiday of kids. And that's why Passover is built all around the celebration with children, and Easter is all around children. It's not an adult holiday. It is a PG-5 holiday. So, like I said, every in early Christianity, they celebrated every Sunday. Every Sunday is an Easter, like every day is a birthday. So that was a part of the idea. Then eventually they decided it's probably too much and we should do it once a year. So we have Palm Sunday, which commemorates or relives when Jesus entered Jerusalem. Remember that is in the story. Jesus in his Saturn return, 29:30, starts his ministry. Of course, also the Buddha did the same thing at the same age. It's called Saturn return. So Jesus returned back to himself at the age of 30. For 3 years, he started moving around Israel, preaching, trying to move people away from the old version of God into a new version of God that is not necessary, that doesn't want to have any sacrifice or human, animal sacrifice. But then again, he did want the human sacrifice. So it's a little bit of a thing there. But anyway, on Holy Thursday, he is celebrating Passover because that was the full moon. Passover is the celebration of liberation. So it's interesting that that was his last celebration. Don't forget, Jesus lived as a Jew, died in a Jew, and he was a resurrect anytime soon. He's not going to go to any church. He's going to go probably to a temple. He's going to move into come into a temple and say, what's going on here? He wouldn't recognize a lot of the praying books and a lot of the rituals, and it's going to think it's kind of strange. So poor Jesus, if he comes back, he can't really go to any synagogue. He can't really go to a church. So he's going to probably maybe become a Buddhist. And anyway, Good Friday is when Jesus is, it's not that good. He was crucified and he died. I mean, it's kind of not the best. And then on Sunday, 3 days after, following the idea of the new moon having 3 days, so the new moon disappears, the moon appears to disappear, and then it resurrects as a sliver of light. That is why we celebrate for 3 days. That's why in most tradition, even in the story of Atis, the story of the heroes disappearing for 3 days, Tammuz, it's always going to be 3 days. It's nothing to do with the story of Christianity. It is the story of the moon. Remember, I told you, first was astrology, then religion built their story around the skeleton of astrology. So Easter Sunday represents the day of resurrection. A cave is opened up, the womb is open, and Jesus is no longer a human. He is divine. So again, these stories are basically emphasizing or amplifying or augmenting processes that we all go through all the time. That's why it was celebrated every Sunday and eventually downgraded to once a month, once a year. So I hope that you guys are having or will have an amazing Easter, and thanks for spending some of it with us here. One word about Jesus. I think I've always been fascinated with him. I won't forget that I was walking back from school. I think I was 14. Yeah, no, maybe no. I think I was 12. And I walked back home. In those days, you know, you could actually walk to school and walk back to school without being kidnapped or molested or bombed or blown up. So I remember I looked down and suddenly I saw a cross. You know, to see in Israel, in Haifa, it's not Jerusalem, somebody dropped the cross. I saw a cross on the floor. I won't forget it. It was a wooden cross about this size. And I just didn't know what to do, because you couldn't just leave a cross lying on the street there. I mean, it's like a dead animal or like a wounded animal. So I remember I looked around that nobody was there, and I picked it up as if it was some kind of forbidden thing, and I put it in my bag. That was stage one. Stage two was worrying all the time if I filled my bag really heavy, or is it normal for that piece of wood? And what's going on? Am I a Christian now that I've picked up a cross and adopted the cross? You know, does that make me a Christian, or does the cross has to convert to Judaism because I'm Jewish? I didn't know what to do with it. I couldn't tell my parents. I was terrified to tell them anything. So I put it in the closet along with other things that were there for a while. And I kept looking at it every once in a while. And I remember that one of the feelings that I had that was really strange, because I was only 12 at that time and I grew up in an atheistic family. They really didn't explain much about religion, is that it felt familiar and it really worried me. I didn't understand, why is it so familiar, this thing? Why is it so familiar? Besides growing up in Israel, you know, but still. And I kept it for a long, long time. And then in university, I started taking a lot of classes on Christianity because I really felt very connected. And I have to admit that one of my favorite characters in history is Jesus of Nazareth. One of my least favorite characters in Israel is Paul, because I feel that Paul had no idea who Jesus was. He never met him, supposedly in a dream. I'm talking about the Paul, some people call Saint Paul. I can't say the word Saint Paul because he's definitely not saintly. Sorry if I offend anybody on Easter, but that's the situation right now. Paul was, I'm not going to start cursing and stuff like that, but he was misogynist, he was a homophobic, he was an anti-Semite, and he was an anti-Christian. He managed to be anti-everything on the planet. So he's a very negative person who distorted completely the teaching of Jesus. And Jesus was all about love. And what did Paul emphasize? The original sin, which Jesus never talked about. He started saying this terrible thing about women, which Jesus never talked about gays, which Jesus never talked about foreigners, which Jesus never talked about. So anyway, he basically made up his own religion. I'm sure that if Jesus would come, the first thing he would do is fire Paul. So I feel that what Jesus is all about is reminding us of Genesis 1. And we talked about it a few times here, that in Genesis 1, God stops every time that he does something and says, it is good. Not because he's full of himself and narcissistic, but because he really feels that he's ultimate good and he created something good. We messed these things up. And then we had to have a reminder, God coming down, reincarnating as a human, showing us that, yes, it is possible to live like a human and still achieve goodness. And I think that that's the biggest message of Jesus. And that's what we should always remind ourselves, whatever religion you are, is that this place is good. Let's not mess it up. So I wish you an amazing Easter. Stay away from Paul and reconnect to Jesus. Hey, poor, you don't have to be poor anymore. Jesus is here. You know that song? I remember when I was a bouncer in one of the clubs that I worked in Israel, that was the most popular song. And I always get goosebumps when they were singing it. because I felt it was so nice. It was so full of optimism. Hey, poor, you don't have to be poor anymore. Jesus is here. Oh, if only it was right. But still, the thought that counts, you know how they say. So that thought in the song really counts. So you don't have to be poor anymore. Jesus is here, and have a great Easter. Have a great retrograde. Have a great eclipse. We'll talk about it more next week. And love you all. Happy Easter.